Okay, as I said, Genesis 32, I'm going to be starting at verse 22 and read through to 33, verse 11. Hear the word of the Lord. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." And there he, and Jacob said to him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two female servants. And he put the servants with their children in front, then Leah with her children, and Rachel and Joseph last of all. He himself went on before them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And when Esau lifted up his eyes and saw the women and children, he said, "Who are these with you?" Jacob said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." Then the servants drew near, they and their children, and bowed down. Leah likewise and her children drew near and bowed down. And last, Joseph and Rachel drew near, and they bowed down. Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company that I met?" Jacob answered, "To find favor in the sight of my Lord." But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." Jacob said, "No, please, if I have found favor in your sight, then accept my present from my hand. For I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God, and you have accepted me. Please accept my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." Thus he urged him, and he took it.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be together. I see there's a good number that have linked in with us. And behind that number of each link are probably a few people. So there's many listening in. We've come together to be under our God's word, to be shaped by him. And so do join with me as we have a look at that passage. I want to just say a few words before I actually get into the sermon about why we are in territory we were in last week. See, last week, Josh, who's leading the service, he was in chapter 32, and this morning we are moving into chapter 33. But to understand it, I need to rewind a bit and spend quite a bit of time revisiting chapter 32. Now, Josh and I have spoken about this. This is not because he did a bad job. It's a very difficult part of the Bible, and it needs quite a bit of thought. And so for me to get on with 33, we need to revisit 32. The main point that Josh made last week is essentially the same one that I'll be making today, just further confirmed and augmented because we're having another wash through that text. Right. Well, let's get into trying to understand this. In the sermons about Jacob thus far, we have seen him to be a difficult character. His name means cheat or grasper. We have seen him grab advantage for himself through deceit. That's his way. For much of his story, he does not trust the living God. Jacob seems only to turn to the Lord later in his story. Let me remind you, and this goes back to when we were still gathered as a church in our building. We looked at this then. He deceived his father into blessing him with the mantle of family leader, family headship. He deceived his father for this instead of it going to Esau, to whom it was meant to go, to Esau, the older brother. Because of this deception, he had to flee from his family. Because after this, Esau declared that he would kill Jacob once dad had died. He was resolute about this, and so Jacob fled. He went to go and live with mum's brother, Uncle Laban. Uncle Laban, some 750 kilometers away. If you look at the map that's on the outline of service that you've got there, if you've clicked on it, you will see the distance he traveled all the way from Beersheba to Haran. On that journey, while all alone one night, looking like he had nothing in the world, and despite all his scheming efforts, it looks like he's come to nothing, God appeared to him in a dream. And there was a ladder connecting heaven to earth in that dream. And if you're looking at the map, you'll see there's a dot there that points out Bethel. That's where this happened, at Bethel. God is connecting with the world through Jacob's line. Jacob's family would become a nation in the land where he slept. And so Jacob calls that place Bethel, meaning house of God. God on earth, God touching the earth. Jesus comes from the nation that would be established in that place through Jacob's line. Jesus, who comes to bless the world, heaven connecting the world. That night, God said to Jacob these words, and they're very important. They're very important in Jacob's story. God said, "Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go." Well, after that, Jacob says that this God will be his God. And when we gathered many weeks back here in our building, the point was made that this seems to be the first time that Jacob talks like this. It's faith talk. I will trust this God. Then as you follow his story, you see God continue to bless him through difficult times. But you also see Jacob struggling to trust God. He continues to use his schemes and his tricks to gain advantage instead of simply trusting God. We see this in chapter 32. He has become wealthy during his many years living under his uncle, who was a cheating man, a difficult man, Uncle Laban. The Bible is clear that Jacob is only blessed, he's only wealthy because of God working. God has blessed him. After many years with Uncle Laban and being blessed despite the man's difficulty, despite the man's cheating, God then tells Jacob to go back to the promised land. For the blessing to continue, his family must be in the land of Canaan. That's where the nation will be shaped, and that's where the nation will grow. So back you must go. But going back means going to the vicinity of his brother Esau. Esau, who has publicly committed to killing him. Now, you would expect, wouldn't you? You would expect Jacob to go back with a no-worries mindset. What's the big deal with Esau and his death commitment when God Almighty, the God of heaven, has said to Jacob, "I will keep you wherever you go"? And Jacob has so much more that should give him confidence. On the journey back that he then undertakes, in chapter 32 and verse 1, angels of God meet with him. And when he experiences this, he declared that this was God's camp. He is saying that heaven is camped alongside his camp. He is saying that he has supernatural company. Later in the Bible, Joshua would have a similar experience. In Joshua chapter 5, he is about to take on the city of Jericho. He sees a man with a drawn sword standing before him. Who is this man? The man declares that he is the commander of the army of the Lord. And then Joshua falls down in worship. What a confidence builder as you face your adversaries. Because heaven is with you. Jacob has nothing to fear. But then we see him show that his faith is wobbly because he does fear. Soon after the angels and the company of God being exposed to him, shown to him, he sends messengers on ahead to his brother, seeking to be received with favor. But when the messengers return, they say Esau is coming to meet Jacob with 400 men. Josh touched on this last time. Jacob thinks this is an army coming to take him on, and so he's afraid. Have a look at chapter 32 and verse 7. It's put out for us there. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. But why? He has God's camp around him. Why? He has God's command to return to the land, and he has God's promise that God would keep him wherever he goes. In verses 9 to 10 of chapter 32, he prays and he tells God, "You told me to return." And then he says, "You have been faithful to me all these years." Now let's pick it up in verse 11 as the prayer continues. "Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me, the mothers with the children. But you said, 'I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude.'" Well, after reminding God of all that, after remembering all that, surely he should rest. But the next big chunk in chapter 32 is about how he sets up a scheme to try to appease his brother. And so in 32 verse 20, he thinks this, and we get taken to his thoughts. "I may appease him with the present that goes ahead of me. And afterward, I shall see his face. Perhaps he will accept me." Jacob is going to hide. He's keeping himself to the rear of this set of gift caravans, hoping that after receiving those gifts, Esau will be appeased. This is not a man who's resting in faith. This is a man wrestling, scheming, hoping to avert a revenge attack. Jacob is a man of messy faith. This is so typically human. Don't look down on Jacob. No believer perfectly trusts God. Everyone has messy faith. Think about Abraham, Jacob's grandfather. There are many examples. Here's one. In his story, he was afraid of being killed by the Egyptians when he and Sarah were in Egypt. He was afraid they would kill him so that they could then make moves on his beautiful wife. What did he do? Well, he lied. He told them that Sarah was not his wife. He did not fully rest in God to keep him safe and to deliver on the promise. And so Abraham helped God along by setting up his own scheme. And there are many examples in Abram's story. No believer perfectly trusts God. Faith is messy. Isn't it true of us as well? We serve the risen Christ. We know that death has been conquered. And we know that everything has been done to set us for eternity. And yet we catch ourselves thinking that we need to add our contribution to help it to happen. If I go to church regularly, then I'm sure things will be okay. If I join a ministry, God will be pleased with me. It'll make him more disposed toward me. That kind of thinking does creep into the Christian life. Messy faith is a human problem. Well, what does God do about Jacob's problem? Well, he sends him to night school. He gets a lesson at night. In chapter 32, 22 to 32, we read about this. Jacob puts his plan for meeting Esau into play. He sends his servants ahead with presents that are designed to appease. That night, he sends his family across the Jabbok River, and then he spends the night alone. Except that a mysterious man appears and picks a wrestling fight with him. Now, this is a very mysterious and difficult passage, and there's all sorts of takes on it. But this fight, it's a difficult fight because it goes on until daybreak. To end the fight, this man just touches Jacob's hip socket and the joint goes out. And Josh explained to us very helpfully why that was the end of Jacob being able to fight. It's the center of his strength. At that moment, we know that this figure is not just another human being. He is supremely more powerful than Jacob because he can, in a flash, disable him. As the story progresses, we learn that this is God. This is God in human form. This is an incarnate appearance. This mysterious story is an object lesson that comes from God for Jacob, and it goes like this. Jacob has always been relying on his own resources to secure a blessing in his life. And yet, the truth of the matter is that he has only always gained because of God's power. Everything that's come to him that's been good is because of God. This moment is designed to hammer it home that he gains because of God's grace and God's grace alone. God brings this man who has wrestled with him all of his life, this man Jacob, brings him to a place of complete weakness by just touching his hip. In that touch, Jacob is rendered powerless. What does he do now? He can't fight. All he can do is hold on. The man says, "Let me go, for the day has broken." Jacob clings to the man. Why? Because he wants one thing from this man. He has realized who this is. He has realized that he can't get anywhere in his own strength. He needs God's blessing. He needs to rely on God. Now, we must not think that Jacob is forcing God to bless him. It's not that God wants to leave. It's the morning now and he wants to go, but he's restrained. And so, he has to do Jacob's bidding. God is not reluctantly giving in. It's not God saying, right, I have to get going. Okay, I'll give you what you want. No, God has already promised blessing and has been delivering on it for years. And God has set this whole moment up. This is God's lesson. What's going on here is completely in God's plan. He's designed this to get Jacob to learn to trust. Of course God could easily get away now that it's daybreak. If he could just touch Jacob's hip and then it's out of socket, well, he could just touch again and he could do anything to get away from Jacob's grip in his divine power. No, what you have here is Jacob humbled and for once completely crying out to God. And this is the place to which God wanted to get him. We know this is so, and I find it very helpful, and I think this is a lesson we should all learn. I find it helpful to see what other parts of the Bible say in commenting on the other sections. And so the prophet Hosea picks up on this moment in chapter 12. I've put it there for you in the outline, the part of Hosea 12 that we're looking at. I'm not going to cover it all, But that part of Hosea is a call to the people of Judah to repent of going their own way and to rely on God for salvation. And so in verse 6 of chapter 12, Hosea says, "So you, by the help of your God, return, hold fast to love and justice, and wait continually for your God." All of that is about trusting God. He's the one who will help you to return. And you need to wait on Him. Wait for Him. That's in the context of a people who've left God, are doing things in their own strength, according to their own schemes, and in line with other religions. In calling the people to this reliance, Hosea takes them back to Jacob wrestling with God at night. And in verse 4, he says that when that happens, Jacob wept and sought his favor. He wept because he could not do anything in his own strength. It is an expression of utter dependence. This is not a man who has overpowered God and, ha ha ha, I've now got it. He's weeping as he asks God for blessing. And so Hosea comments for us and helps us to understand what's going on. The lesson, Jacob, that you need to learn, stop relying on yourself and entrust yourself to me, says God. Now, as God blesses him, he changes his name. He is now called Israel, meaning you have striven with God and you have prevailed. This does not mean you have fought with God and you have beat him, you've won and God has lost. It does not mean you have overpowered God. No, what it means is you have encountered God. When you look at the range of meaning in the original language, when you look at all the context that we're in and what Hosea says, it all comes to you have encountered God and you have prevailed. You have survived. Jacob himself interprets the encounter that way. What does he say after all of this is finished? Have a look at verse 30. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. I have encountered God, and yet I have survived." Well, with that having happened, what is his problem then with any other of the obstacles he faces? Nothing, nothing, nothing can prevent the blessing God has promised. He just needs to trust this God. Now, I've walked through all that background that we did last time, washed through it again, so that we take what Josh showed us last time, we revisit it now, and we come into chapter 33, and we see the power of the God that you trust, the one that's made promises and does deliver, you see it now at work. The very next thing in the story is that he looks up and he sees Esau coming with those 400 men. And now he does not take up the rear. Let me read you the first three verses of chapter 33. "And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two female servants, and he put the servants with the children in front, then Leah with her children, and Rachel and Joseph last of all." And notice verse 3, "He himself went on before them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother." Remember last time? He was going to be right at the back, hoping that the killing desire of his brother would have been appeased by all the gifts. This time, he goes in front. And how is he received? Look at verse 4. "But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And then when Jacob tries to give him the gifts, how does Esau respond? Look at the next two verses, 8 and 9. Esau said, 'What do you mean by all this company that I met?' Jacob answered, 'To find favor in the sight of my Lord.' But Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself. Well, this is far from what Jacob had anticipated. This is the polar opposite of the death declaration Esau had made. How is this possible? Because God is involved. That is why the story about the wrestling is sandwiched in between Jacob going to meet his brother and then actually meeting him. It is God who makes the difference. God is at work. Before that night lesson, Jacob schemed. After the night lesson, he goes first. He is trusting God. And then you get this incredible picture, this beautiful moment, this antithesis of what he expected. Far from being a killer, far from a cold and distant hello from his brother, far from just shaking hands, this is the stuff of tearjerker movies, where the scene goes into slow motion. Think about verse 4 in slow motion. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. God is at work. The lesson for us as we think about this story is this. We are made right with God, and we are made fit for eternity only by grace through faith. How do you feel about your relationship with God? Are you confident that through relying on what he has achieved on the cross in Christ, that because of this you are right with him and you will enter eternity when your life is over? As you see people die, as we do in life, and think a lot more about it at the moment with the pandemic around, but death is always around. And as you think about your own mortality, do you feel a bit of fear that you need to do something else, something additional, to ensure God will actually receive you? Well, this story says, rely on God and rely on what he has promised. Don't strive with your own strength to be blessed. It is God who does it all. And so I want to close with this verse from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9, which should be there in your outline. As the Apostle Paul reminds the Ephesian church how it is that they are right with God. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's about faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Let me just stop there. So that no one may boast. Jacob cannot boast that his scheming brings about any of it. He ends up clinging, weeping, as Hosea says, crying out that God would bless him. So that no one may boast. Verse 10. For we believers, the church of God, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Do you see a difference? Everything is of God. The fact that we have been saved, that's because God has done it. And even the good works that we do as his people, all of that comes from God. And so let us remember that it is all and only by grace. What a wonderful God we serve, that we can trust and that we can know for certain will deliver us into eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the truth of your wanting to bless and doing so by your power, all of you, that this truth is shown to us all over the scriptures. Would you help us if we are Christians, to have our confidence refreshed because of what we've seen this morning. And if people are listening who are not Christians, Heavenly Father, please impress upon them that they do not have to do anything in their strength to make themselves right with God, but rather come to Him, come to You in faith, that You would then work salvation in them and work change in them. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are lost, that they would see this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we sing our last song, if you are one who's not sure where you stand with the Lord and are not confident that when you die, you will be in eternity, in glory forever, please would you click on the tab that says Gospel. And there's an explanation there that will unpack further for you. It's a video explanation. It will unpack further for you how you can indeed be certain and trust, just like Jacob came to do after that night lesson. Please look there. And if you do look there and you want to know more and you want to talk with us, we'd love to send you further information. In fact, we'd love to send you a book free. Just want to give it to you. Please write to us and say you'd like that. Give us your details by going to our email address that's on the website. admin@wpcbc.net. It's there on the website. Please connect with us. We'd love to help you.